Can you hear me now? Is that better? Great, thanks guys. So my name's Ben Dequal. I'm a technical solutions professional for Microsoft, covering across Australia and New Zealand. And I focus particularly around things like Azure Storage, DR, and a few other facets of what we do there. And I'm also going to be joined today by Gavin Wall, who's from Fortescue Metals. Gavin is an architect at Fortescue, and he covers a whole range of things over there. So he's going to be talking about the journey to the cloud for Fortescue, how they're using things and some lessons learned and other details that they've found as they've gone along their journey and transitioned to what they're doing today. So for just from a starting point today, how many people have actually started to move to the cloud? How many people are using the cloud today? I'm going to take a guess, hazard a little guess, that you didn't lift and shift everything in one go and you started slowly. Because when we talk about cloud, and we spoke about cloud like for many years now, the utopia of cloud, the vision of cloud is everything's going to be perfect. It'll be pristine. We'll have all these cloud-focused applications working up there. It'll be like a Star Trek world where everything's perfectly technical. While what we're finding now as we're going along the journey, the reality of cloud is more like a Blade Runner world. We have holes in the ground. We have all kinds of fluorescent lights, broken down cars, as well as flying cars and robots. It's kind of a hybrid world, and this is what we've come to the reality of living. And this is what we're focusing on at Microsoft today, where we're looking across the ability to run private, public, or hybrid across all of our range of applications, whether you look at IaaS or PaaS-based applications, and trying to have common frameworks around how we manage and use all these these different products. And we can see it today in a lot of the product sets we look at. So we start looking at things like Hyper-V and the ability to suddenly move virtual machines to and from Azure. And even we go a little bit further, we made a recent acquisition of a company called Inmarge, which is being integrated right now into Azure Site Recovery. And you can see it in Migration Accelerator, but the ability to, again, use Azure for a whole DR solution, automate your whole test plans, and to then fail back and not invest in all this CapEx when you don't need to, and start slowly changing your enterprise and start to get value out of the details. And one of the things I'm going to talk about today, of course, which is going to be, which is going to be actually Store Simple, which is on-premise storage and then on-premise storage array that connects up to Azure seamlessly to make it much, much easier to run. And of course, you've probably seen a fair bit about ExpressRoute with the data center openings in Australia becoming imminent. The ability to connect up to Azure via MPLS, via fiber connection, and different means is suddenly going to make that whole networking layer a lot more transparent and simple for you to start to transition to and start to use multi-purpose. If you jumped in the last session I was with AvPoint, probably just have a nap for a couple of slides, but I'm just going to talk a little bit about an IDC study that Gartner run every couple of years with EMC. I've got no idea what EMC have got to go with this, but they're interested in it for some reason. But data growth. So IDC have found today there's about 4.4 trillion gigabytes of data out there. It's 12 zeros. And they're predicting that over the next few years, we're going to be looking at this growing up to 44 trillion. That's a 40% year-on-year growth compounded. It's a lot of information to manage and a lot of content to manage. And when you put that into sort of, if you actually try and take that and put an example of what that data would physically look like, and we go back to the floppy disk, and that's more than one floppy disk every minute per person on the planet that we're filling up with data. Imagine doing that and how quickly you fill up your garage and your house with floppy disks over the course of a couple of weeks even. I did say this to a person on my team who's a bit younger, and he said, "What's a floppy disk?" But I'm hoping most of you understand that analogy. And one of the interesting things we've seen about this, and I think it's quite pertinent. I've heard people talking about dark data and other information, but a lot of the content's being created, and it comes down to the way we are consuming and using data. So mobile phones, taking selfies, taking photos, all kinds of different things, putting information on Twitter, doing our blogs, doing other content, creation of content which is outside the norm. We're actually customers out there, our actual customers and our companies are creating 60% of the data. 66% of that data is actually consumer created. But then we find as organizations, as companies, as departments, that we're liable for 85% or more of that data. And I saw this as an example in a police enforcement agency where a lot of the officers were going out and buying GoPros. They wanted to make sure that in the event of an arrest or working with other people, they were covered legally. So they'd actually go in, put these on their shirts and record the actual goings on of whatever's happening. So if something comes back to them, they can go, hey, look, this is what really happened. That was great, but IT found out about it about a year later, and suddenly they go, we have these hundreds of terabytes of data, it's not stored on our systems, and we actually are legally liable for it. So it's kind of the world we live in today. And even more important, if we keep going out there and saying no, it'll just make it worse. It'll just compound that issue and make it harder. And quite often with traditional methods, we have to say no because managing that data growth is very, very hard. And we have to try and change the way we manage the data because we can't keep surviving the way we are doing it today because it's just not sustainable. And there are a few things you can look at, and few people might already be looking at some of these different things, but the ability to start prioritizing your data based on where it needs to be accessed, how it needs to be accessed, you know, maintaining the recoverability. How many people have been able to do a full DR test over the last year, 6 months? Surprisingly, not as many as you think. And also the way we back it up, the way we restore it, we have to be smarter and do some different things about it. And it's a common problem across every industry. So at Microsoft, we've tried to bring in a way to start to transition and start to manage this data today. And this is our Microsoft Azure Store simple solution, because when we start looking at data management, it's not just a bunch of disk. If it was, it'd be easy. We'd go into the shop, buy another hard disk, keep adding it on and on and on. What we actually find in reality is, and what we all know in reality is, that we have a primary storage array. We then back up data on that primary storage array over to a disk-based solution. We recover quickly, we can back up constantly. We'll also maybe take it off to another piece of hardware or the same hardware itself to actually archive the cold data, but we'll use a different software platform to do that move for us. And then we'll take it off to tape, because tape is cheap. Tape's a great medium to store data for 40 years, but it's not cheap and easy to manage. It's quite complex to manage. You have to do device refreshes, you have to bring all your tape back in and swap it over. There's a lot of complexity around the way you manage that data. And then of course, for a lot of us, we have to go and replicate that spend, that capital expenditure in our DR site and start to buy like for like for our production storage, for our backup even, and our archive. So it's quite a complex way to look at things today. So what we're trying to do at Microsoft with our Store Simple solution is to compress that all down and to take away a lot of the hurdles you have around that archive, data management, backup, DR. And we do this with our Store Simple solution. It is a storage array. It's not an appliance, it's not a gateway. We actually are a full-blown storage array, and I'll tell you why in a moment. And this sits inside your data center. It will connect up to all your existing applications seamlessly. There's no modification to make. There's no change to the user experience. And it will then smartly move the data between different tiers on disk, which is great. Plenty of technologies out there are doing that today. But also, it'll do things like compress and deduplicate that data in line as it brings the data in. Again, very good technologies. And we're seeing a lot of startups doing this. But it's not the only value proposition we're looking at here. The big value proposition then is the coldest tier, the cheapest tier for this is then actually Azure. It's a cloud. So the economies of scale that you get out of the cloud without going and changing the way your whole infrastructure works today and going and make that first step, that first change. And not only is it taking that data off to the cloud for the event of the cold data archive, but also for your backups and your DR, because you've got full copies of the data up in Azure where it's got multiple versions, multiple copies across different geographies, and presentable up in the cloud. And of course, we also encrypt that information too, because security does matter. No matter where your data is located, your security matters. And when we look at how this slots in at the data center, we just come down for a little bit of a closer view. It's iSCSI attached, so it will work with pretty much anything we look at today, x86 based. Simply slots in, you put it in, you start working as per normal. There's no difference to the look and the feel, whether the data's on the appliance in your data center or it's up in the cloud in Azure. And this is all then centrally managed from within Azure itself through our Store Simple Manager. And in the event you want to do a DR or you want to test some applications, you have the ability to then bring this up with our storage virtual appliance up in the cloud and start running that data, maybe for DR, maybe for production, maybe just as a way to migrate data up to Azure. But it works very, very simply, very, very easily. and we look at the Store Simple solution from a hardware perspective, it's a little bit more boring, but it's what you need to look at as well when you're sizing information and data. So we have two models out today in the 8000 series. This is the 8100 and the 8600. These have 15 terabytes and 40 terabytes of usable capacity respectively. This is after we take away our right sizing, we do right sizing, we take away reservation for the OS and our metadata, we actually present up 40 terabytes. We then have 800 gig and two terabytes of usable SSD capacity for that working set data, that hot data that you're actually working on a day-to-day basis. And when we look about this, how much we can actually store on the storage array itself, we like to talk about anywhere from, you know, 15 to 45 terabytes. It can even be more with different use cases, like some of our ones that Gavin will talk about around Veeam. And this would be through the compression and deduplication we do. And then, of course, the big thing you'll notice here is these appliances are only 2 or 4 IU. However, we're supporting up to 200 and 500 terabytes of Azure storage from a single appliance here. So the ability to really take that cold data and manage all this information without having to slot in disk drives and start to actually flexibly grow your data set into Azure and into the cloud where it's very, very low cost and economical. And I said before, it's not a gateway, it's actually a storage array. And there's a few reasons for this, and it probably looks like any other storage array you've seen out in the marketplace. It's got two controllers, it's got dual power, we have redundant disk configured within a RAID set, we do hot sparing, we do alerting, we do notifications, all the things you expect to know. We also do in-place upgrades, and a big thing about being a storage array and being enterprise storage is we actually are covered with under our Premier support team as well. So Premier support will contact you and speak to you about any issues and log calls for you to be able to do work around any questions or any other things you may have around Store Simple. It is effectively what you expect when you buy enterprise storage today. Definitely not unique, but definitely what you expect from a hardware platform. Now, when we look at the virtual appliance, this is where it gets kind of interesting. So we get the ability to start accessing that data. We're backing it up on a daily basis, and we get the ability to start accessing that data in Azure. So our virtual appliance can actually sit up in the cloud in a virtual network and present up to any IaaS VM. And this means we can do this for DR. We may have other application workloads. We may want to start doing things like machine learning or analytics on the data we have up there. And today, it's great. We can spin up VMs like that very, very quickly. However, that doesn't mean we can move the data around. Data has mass. We can't just move it very easily and quickly. However, if there is a full copy up in the cloud, the ability to then go and bring it up and present that data and start using it for other uses is a very, very interesting topic. There was one of the customers I was speaking to a few months back who were talking about it as a potential way to get geospatial data up to Azure and aerial photography up into Azure and then even detach from the physical Store Simple and start using the virtual one to create point-in-time backups through snapshots and to actually store that data and get around some of the limitations we have today, such as 16 terabytes per VM. And we're talking about data sets in excess of 20 terabytes. And this is quite interesting. I think it starts to add a lot more flexibility to what we do today, because having that data there, we can turn the computer on in an instant and start using and accessing that data if we so wish. So I talked about Store Simple being efficient with the way it treats its data, and this is a way we actually work. We'll take all the data into Store Simple at a block level. By default, we're a 64K block level. We do go to a bit bigger for certain other use cases, such as images or Veeam type use cases, and we deduplicate that data all in line as it starts coming into SSD. As we fill up that SSD tier, and the watermark on that is about 90%, we'll compress that data in line and start moving it down to our really high density SAS disk, so our 2 terabyte, 4 terabyte disk. And then as we start to fill up the storage array itself, we'll take the coldest blocks of data and we'll take them off to Azure. So we'll encrypt these on the way with a 256-bit asymmetrical key. And this is all seamless to the end user, the same way you look at storage archiving today, except that tier is just the cloud at the bottom. And if the blocks are ever then called back, you open a file from a few months ago where it's fully tiered off to the cloud or partially, the blocks just get pulled back into the SSD tier. And this is pretty great in the way we look at growing our data. So this is why we're looking at the ability to start going, here's 15 terabytes of on-premise storage. However, we can grow that up to 200 because you can start using that backend. And we know when we look at data today, we know when we analyze our information, the majority of our data is actually cold data. I've seen anywhere from about 1% to about 15, 20% of data being the working set, being the stuff which is accessed on a day-to-day basis over the past month to 3 months. Security. So it's quite interesting because a lot of things do look secure when you first glance at them, but they're not quite as secure as you think when you start looking in and zooming in on that. So it's always security. It's got so many different facets to what you're doing there. It's only as strong as the weakest link. And if it's a little bit of cable tie, you're in trouble. So when we talk about security on the Store Simple solution, we do a fair bit there to make sure it is security first. When you create a storage account in Azure, we give you two 512-bit keys to actually connect to that storage account. You have to know these, and you can rotate these at any time. We give you two so you can do the rotation non-disruptively. And then with the Store Simple solution itself, we encrypt all that data with an AES 256-bit algorithm. The key, the passphrase for this encryption is entered in by the customer. We don't actually really want to know the passphrase. And you'll see that's quite common where we're starting to offload a lot of the encryption to the customer to start to manage and own that key. So we are not in a position where we can disclose that. And then in transit itself, it's encrypted over 2048-bit encryption over HTTPS. As we go forward, you may use ExpressRoute 2 where it's still got an encrypted tunnel, or you can stick to using actual internet-based connection. But we've got doubly encrypted data going in flight. And then in sitting in Azure itself, it's still encrypted at rest with that 256-bit key that Store Simple has applied. And that's great because we're talking about how we protect data from a technical perspective. If you go and have a look at the Azure Trust Center, you can see what we do and what we focus on around ensuring we know your data is secure within Azure. We have a lot of certifications, things like HIPAA, PCI DSS. And if you look at the register or some other news organizations, you'll see that in the past week, we've actually been certified by the Australian Federal Government for Azure as well. So we've gone through a lot of things to get this level of certification. And then finally, on the legal front as well, we actually have a set of guidelines around what we do with your information and how we protect it and what we do in the event, say, we get subpoenaed for data for your company or another organization. And big things around this, paramount is actually ensuring that we notify the customer before any data is released and actually questioning why they need the information. And it's come to a stage over a few times in the last 6 months where we have actually gone into a courtroom and protected our users' data on their behalf and denied information which we've been subpoenaed for. So the end-to-end solution there is pretty important, going from technology through to verification, certification, through to actually in the courtrooms, in a legal perspective. And that's what you actually need when you're looking at data protection today, particularly when we start to look at cloud services. When we talk about the offsite data protection, we use what we call a cloud snapshot to back up data. We'll take a full copy of all this information sitting on your Store Simple in your data center. This information then gets taken up to Azure. We take the metadata with it too. And that's great. The first copy will take a little while, but there's a thing about data mass I mentioned earlier. After that, we do our snapshots maybe as low as every 15 minutes, hourly, weekly, monthly, and we take only incremental block level changes. It is a snapshot, so it doesn't have to read through the metadata of millions and millions of files to back them up. It just knows all the change blocks, copies up the change blocks and the metadata up to Azure. And we keep 256 of these copies per volume. We can. And if you put this into context, you could take a snapshot every hour between 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. for 2 days. Then you could take a daily snapshot and keep 10 copies of that, giving you 2 business weeks. Then take a weekly snapshot, keep 10 copies of that, giving you a little bit more than 2 months. And finally, you can round it off and go, well, I'll take a monthly snapshot and keep that for 7 years. And how does that fit when you go, I've only got 256 snapshots? That's only 124. So you can go more granular still. So the ability to take these really quick backups of your data and start to get away from the concept of taking full backups and incrementals. Every snapshot realistically is a full backup. It's just not moving a full data set. And we get that data up into Azure. I've been talking about snapshots for quite a few years as a mechanism to protect data. And it's quite common when you talk about objections around snapshots as a backup, because a snapshot can't be a backup because there's only one copy. We haven't moved it around. But it's been quite a common theme now if you talk to people like ESG or Gartner or IDC, where a snapshot is a backup if it has multiple copies. So when we look at Store Simple and it uses what we call geo-redundant storage, Azure geo-redundant storage by default, we actually replicate three copies of every piece of information that goes up in Azure synchronously within the local region. So today it may be somewhere like Singapore or Hong Kong is your primary region. Give it a short amount of time, hopefully, and it'll be Sydney, Melbourne. And we'll have three copies of that data sitting in different fault domains inside the primary Azure region. Then that's our local redundant storage. And then geo-redundant storage means we actually replicate those three pieces of data asynchronously to our partner data center. We only launch Azure locations in pairs. So Sydney and Melbourne are going to be regions. So you would have three copies in Sydney or Melbourne, and then three copies of your data in the other location. So you have six copies of your information that you're storing and have point in time access to all this data. It is really a true backup solution and also a DR solution where it's in a different location and has multiple copies. And the big advantage of this is you can suddenly start to bring up these copies anytime in a couple of minutes. I mean, if you're actually doing a restore to the same appliance, we generally find it takes under a minute to bring up that restore, whether it's a day, a week, or a year old. And there's a few things around that I'll touch on in a minute. So we try and be smart about how we're moving data. It used to be we could take our LTO 5 today. We can still take our LTO 5 and we can send data over 8 gig or 16 gigabit fiber channel. We can move a fair bit of data quite quickly over those mechanisms. When we start looking at the cloud as a way to store data, we're taking over an internet link or MPLS. It's generally not going to be the same speed. It's definitely not going to be 16 gigabit. And this poses a problem. How do we effectively back up and restore data and access our data in the event of a disaster happening or a failure or corruption? So we can't force that pig down the pipe anymore. What we do is we actually start to prioritize that data based on how it is needed. So when we take a snapshot, we take the data up to Azure, we've got a full copy up there. When it comes time to start aging blocks of data off to the cloud for archiving, we know if that block of data is already in the cloud and we won't move it a second time. We have them fingerprinted, so MD5 hash, and we have these all checksummed up there and we know what not to move as well. So if there's already a copy, we don't move it a second time. And it works in reverse too. When we restore data, we will simply mount up a copy of that metadata. If it's the same Store Simple, we'll actually keep all the metadata on the appliance itself. And we'll simply bring up that metadata from that snapshot and present it up. We don't actually pull any data back from the cloud. And then people can start browsing through and looking through the files and directories and the folders and seeing all that information. And it's only when they start to interact with the data that they potentially might pull the data back from Azure. Only the hot data that they need. So instead of restoring, you know, bringing back multiple tapes and restoring terabytes of information, you can present up terabytes of information in a couple of minutes and then pull back only what you need when you need it. And we're also smart enough to know if a copy of that information, that unique block, is still on the Store Simple storage array, and we will not pull that data back from the cloud a second time. We'll simply use a locally populated block. And if we're doing this for a DR or to another Store Simple array where we haven't got a copy of the metadata, we only pull down the metadata, which is a very, very tiny fraction of the information. So rather than taking hours per terabytes, you're talking about a couple of minutes per terabyte because we're only taking that metadata. So I'm just going to quickly show you a quick run through of how the solution works and what it looks like to use. I've cheated a little bit and done a recording about a week and a half ago, but it's pretty much true to exactly how it works, and I'm happy to sit down afterwards and show you any of the console. So Store Simple is all managed from the Azure console. If you've looked at Azure before, there's a lot of products and different things you can do here. And in fact, over 200 different products. Store Simple Manager sits down here. When you go in, you will get an overview of every Store Simple that you have under management, whether physical or virtual. You can see the capacity used and kind of trends as well. You can then drill in, and I'm going to go down to our 8100 physical appliance, our 15 terabyte box. You can see what that's been using. You can see the actual utilization, again, the trends. And what we do firstly here, we'll go and create a volume container. And this is a logical construct to actually manage your volumes. You can have one or multiple volumes in a container. And you can go in here, you'll select the storage account you want to use. Your storage account will be in the region that you select when you create it. And you'll put in your bandwidth throttling, so you don't want to flood your bandwidth when you utilize StorSimple, particularly your initial seeding. And you'll enter in your encryption key, so your passphrase to encrypt all this information, this data. Once that's done, you'll next go in and create a volume. So a volume, or depending on your lexicon and the storage you use, is a LUN. It's just a logical unit of storage. And we'll go and select the capacity. We thin provision this. We can always grow, but you can't shrink, so start small. Grow to what you need to grow. And we also select then what server you want to connect to. What you saw as well, we had an option to do archive or primary, and this is really about the block size and the priority for tiering to the cloud. And we go and create that, and we present that up very, very quickly and easily. We can then go and do a rescan of our disk inside our server, and this could be a Windows server, as it is now. It could be a virtual machine host from VMware. It could be a Linux server. It doesn't really matter. We'll see a 100 gig volume presented up, and then it's simply a matter of going in and formatting with our file system. The big thing here, when you look at it, it hasn't changed. There's nothing new or new user experience that you can see here. The only thing I had to do prior to showing this was actually set up the iSCSI initiator on the server, which took a couple of minutes. And I'm just going to take a copy of some data now off a local disk and copy it over to the StorSimple. And I'm going to use that data to show you how I protect the information, how we restore it, and also how we do a full DR. So just a copy and paste of some data over there. And there's nothing really different to what you do today and how you manage it today from your end Windows server, your Linux server, your VMware guys. So I'm going to go down into our backup policies now, and I'm going to quickly take an ad hoc cloud snapshot. You wouldn't really do that too much because that's not the way you do it. You normally schedule it. However, you have the option to do that. So I'm kicking that off now. And then you can also go in and start creating your backup schedules. And that's pretty simple to do. You go and add a new schedule, select cloud snapshot. How often do you want to take that snapshot? I'm going to do my weekly snapshots now. And then my retention, 10 cloud snapshots of weeklies. This will give me a little over 2 months of points in time. And I apply that and kick it off. It's running every Friday night now, and we keep 10 copies. Very, very simple to do, very easy to do. And it sort of doesn't change your mindset about the way you think about your backup policies today. And so here's a photo on the volume we just took a cloud snapshot of. You may have seen it already. It's our CEO with a bucket of ice over him. Pretty funny shot. We can delete this permanently from the disk. And I'll show you how we restore this. And you've probably all seen this with snapshots on other storage arrays, but this has actually got the data up in Azure without replicating your storage array spend. We can then go through and see do our search and actually our point of time and look at our index, our catalog, and start to look at our snapshots. And we can go down and drill into that point of time. We'll clone that snapshot. We'll select the target device. And we'll mount the snapshot up. We can select a different server if we want to restore to a server which isn't production, because we want to make sure we're not going to have someone accidentally modify production data. We can do this. And it goes off there. And it takes about generally 30 seconds or less to do it to the same StorSimple appliance. And we can see it presented up here now as another 99.87 gig after formatting. And we can bring it online. And then it's a simple matter of going in there and you can view the data. The big thing here is we haven't actually pulled any data back from Azure at all. We've simply copied a local copy of the metadata and presented it up. Now I open the file I just deleted, which is fully in the cloud because we deleted it locally, and it will pull it back from the cloud. All those blocks are now back on the local StorSimple. We can copy and paste it over for a restore. So the DR process, how different is it? Really, it's not. You do the exact same process, except you select a different StorSimple. In this case, I've got a StorSimple virtual appliance inside Azure Infrastructure as a Service. And I'll go in here, I'll select a different server because I'm going to use a VM inside the IaaS instance within the same region. And we present it up. This has to copy over the metadata. So it will take a little bit longer than the other snapshot we're doing it to the same appliance. However, particularly if you're doing this inside Azure, the data is right next to the computer already. It's very, very, very quick and very easy. So we simply then go into our IaaS VM, and you can see it's a cloudapp.net VM up in a randomized RDP port. And we can then go in and present up this data. We'll see it come up, probably is up by now because it's not much metadata for that much actual content. and it comes up very, very quickly and very, very easily. And again, the whole process is seamless. You'll get in there, you'll go through, you'll see a new disk come up, like local storage today, and you'll do your rescan, present it up. And as soon as you do that, you can start to see all the files we just protected via that cloud snapshot. And we can go in and we can look at them and we can open them. And particularly when you look at using it in Azure, the VM is next to the storage. That's very low latency and very, very quick. And that's a whole experience in actually going in, provisioning storage, backing up your storage, restoring it, and then doing a full DR. So we're not just backing up locally, we're taking it off-site. And I'd pretty much challenge a lot of other people to try and do that in about 7 minutes and start to run through that whole life cycle of what we do with our data and information. And I mentioned before, it also isn't just about DR. That's a great use case, but it is about other uses too. It's about other apps. We may have other applications in it. We want to start moving to Azure. And we want a mechanism to get the data up there. We may want to have dev and test environments where we start looking at actually refreshes of data every week or every month. How do we do those today? Do we copy up full data sets? We have a data copy up there already. We can simply present it up in a couple of minutes. So it starts to make us much more flexible and agile in the way we start to approach our data, our applications, and we can do today. One quick call out to say on this too is, we're still simple. We had a 7000 series, Gavin's going to talk about the previous model. And this was pretty good. It was mainly focused around things like file and archive and a bit of SharePoint. The 8000 model, we've seen some significant improvements around performance and capacity. And I'm sure this slide will be growing out more and more over the next coming months and years. But we look at workloads such as file share, archive, particularly because quite often you'll have millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of files in a file share or in SharePoint, printed up, presented up maybe via RBS. And this data is pretty much the majority, the bulk of what you're storing in your data center. It's also the hardest piece of your data that you're trying to manage. Trying to do a full backup and read through millions of files, even incremental, will take hours. I was speaking to a New Zealand customer about 9 months back, and they did buy StoreSimple, and they're taking 2.5 weeks to do a full backup of their file data, because just reading through the multiple hundreds of terabytes they had was just very, very intensive. So it's great for that, but also we're starting to do a lot more around virtual machines and SQL and other relational databases, because we have SSD. We have that local capacity. We can start really catering to those other workloads. We're still not saying go and put your ERP systems in there, your 10,000 seat payroll systems, but start to focus on your workloads, which are, maybe a few terabytes of VMs or SQL data. We can definitely run on here without issue and start backing that up and moving up to Azure. And this is pretty useful. And Gavin can talk about in a moment how Fortescue focused in and started to look at other workloads they could start moving off their storage. Just before I flick to Gavin, I was going to see if there were any questions at all from the room. If anyone had any questions before I start talking about our use cases and customer experience. Quiet room's good. So over to Gavin Wall, who's going to focus in for us on how Fortescue use StoreSimple and also Azure.
Cheers. So, my name's Gavin Wall. I'm a technical architect at Fortescue Metals Group. And the last 3.5 years, we've been doing a lot with the cloud, particularly the Microsoft cloud, but also a lot of other software as a services. So thanks for your time today. What I'm going to take you through is what we've been doing with Microsoft cloud, what we've done with the StoreSimple 7000 series, and some of what we're doing today. And really, what I'm here to do is take you through some of those use cases and the lessons that we've learned. So before we get started, I wanted to share this statement from our CIO with you. And I'm just going to read it out. So our IT strategy is to enable the business strategy. We do this by understanding, by being trusted, and with business velocity. We're not an IT company, we're a mining company. Now, many of you out in the audience probably aren't from a mining company, but I'm sure you can relate to the message there and understand some of our motivations to change the way that we operate and deliver to the business. So just a show of hands, who comes from a customer, from a company whose focus isn't IT? Awesome. So we've got a good part of the room. And I guess the partners that are in the room, which is probably the majority of the other people or people that are working for IT consultancies, you're working with customers whose core business is not IT. So I really hope that that message comes across and has some relevance to you. So just a bit about Fortescue Metals Group, if you haven't heard of us. We were founded in 2003. We're now the fourth largest iron ore producer in the world. And our current production capacity is 155 million tonnes per annum. Now, our focus this financial year is to further lower our cost per tonne and increase our run rate, so our production, to 165 million tonnes per annum. So we're looking to do that through operational efficiencies and improvements where we can. Recently, one of our GMs summed up our focus on cost with this quote, and it's quite simple. The only thing we can control is cost. We can't control revenue. So that's part of the reason why, from an IT strategy perspective, we're focusing on consuming as a cloud services and consuming as a service where possible, so we can focus on core business and also take advantage of the economies of scale that the cloud offers us. So this isn't actually my own slide. This slide comes from a TechEd North America deck where one of my colleagues spoke about StoreSimple and how we use it in the context of backup with Veeam. But it's a really great slide. It sums up some of our motivations to change the way we operate and consume IT as a service. And really, it's as simple as this. The more data you have, the more you need to back up. The more physical devices, the more racks, the more power in it. And it all flows on from there. So at Ben's point earlier was data will grow tenfold by 2020. Sure, disk capacities might get better. We might have some efficiencies in there. But ultimately, for you to continue doing this on-premise, it means a lot of physical kit, right? And the costs just flow on. So we've actually been challenged as a team by our CIO not to buy any more storage as tin. So that's a big challenge for us this year. And that's why the StoreSimple devices are so important to us. So before we get into our StoreSimple use cases, a little bit about our cloud adoption. So we've got at least a dozen cloud services that we're using. My definition of a cloud service is pretty tight, so unless you support Federation for authentication and unless you've got the relevant standards, I don't class you as a cloud service. But in reality, with Shadow IT, we're going to have a few more cloud services out there in the business. We've had at least 3 to 4 years in the cloud, particularly with Microsoft. We started off with Azure PaaS 3 years ago and actually built our first PaaS system was a treasury system, which connected data from various financial systems and allowed us to streamline some of our business practices. We've been doing IaaS in Azure for the last 18 months. We've had double-digit growth each month this year, month on month. And just in July, we had a 53% increase in usage. So we're really starting to get out there. One of the first questions we ask when we've got a new app or a server needs to be onboarded is, can we build this in Azure? And then from a collaboration and productivity perspective, we were actually a launch customer for Office 365, so we've been using it for 3.5 years. Beyond the Microsoft Cloud, we've got a large number of SaaS services, and they're supporting lines of business from everything from inventory optimization to crisis management and everything in between. So I'll move on to our StoreSimple use cases. So the first one of those is archive data. So I'm sure everyone can relate to this, this use case. Everyone's got those archive folders, those dirty little folders on the file share that no one really knows about, that no one wants to touch, but at the same time, no one wants to get rid of them either. So for us, this was really one of the first workloads that we threw at the StoreSimple. And from our perspective, it offered us a low cost, but still easily accessible way to get to our data. For those times where people go, oh, actually, you know what? I think that's hidden in that little folder that Dave used to use before he left. So the fact that the StoreSimple does that deduplication that Ben was talking about, And in our case, I've got some stats up there from one of our volumes. We're getting a 93% deduplication ratio. So with that, it really turns into a more cost-effective and importantly accessible way to for us to host that archive data. And really, when you compare it to some other simple cloud archives, it's better for us. So the next use case I'll talk about is using StoreSimple as a backup target. So potentially not one of the first use cases you'd think about for StoreSimple, but for us, we wanted to take advantage of the scale that the StoreSimple devices offered. So we tried it about 18 months ago, not long after we got our first 7020 StoreSimple device. So that's the 7 series last generation. When we were trying it, we found that when the local device reached 85% capacity, it was at the high water mark, as it's known, we were really losing throughput. And it was getting down to a point where our backup cycles were being thrown out. So we knew we weren't pushing the device, and it was well within its capabilities, but there were just some settings. We couldn't find the right combination of them to make sure that this actually worked and kept our backup cycles at least the same timing. So an example of that is our backup product is Veeam. So Veeam offers deduplication and compression. So does the StoreSimple. So for us, it was a question of which one do we leave on? Which one do we turn off? Now, fast forward to April this year, and we received guidance from both Microsoft and the Veeam teams on how to tune the StoreSimple and Veeam to use the StoreSimple as a backup target. So we got that working very quickly with a subsection of our environment. You still importantly need to size this appropriately. There's a 50 terabyte limit, I think, Ben, around that. But it's very, very definitely still achievable. If you'd like more information on that particular use case, one of my colleagues, David Eady, actually spoke at TechEd North America with the StoreSimple and Veeam teams. So I've got a link at the end if you'd like to look at that. And then the next use case I'd like to talk about is file shares. So file shares really are a natural fit for the StoreSimple device. When you look at the intelligence of that device, the fact that you've got active blocks on fast disk, the fact that you've got block level dedupe, it's perfect for the type of use you get with file shares. And then you've got to remember the data protection offered by the device as well that Ben was just talking about. For us, that means we need less storage for backup, and it lowers our costs and really simplifies that whole regime for us. You saw how easy it was to just present a new iSCSI volume to do a recovery. For us, that's critical. So in our case, we've got 90 terabytes of data. About 5% of that is active, and that's a pretty generous label for active, because in reality, if a document's been touched in the last 6 months, we're treating it as active. So with the 7520 device and the capacity that it has, and the fact that we're expecting a greater than 90% deduplication ratio, we're actually going to be able to store our entire file shares on the one device, and it'll all remain local. So from that perspective, we really only care about the active data, but we know that all that data is going to be there on the device and present our end users with a great user experience still. Other uses that we've had is we've been using this with applications that have a file share backend, and in some of those instances, we've seen a significant performance improvement because the active blocks, so the actual files that are being accessed, are being presented straight from SSD. So that's been great for us. We've got some ideas how we're going to further use StoreSimple from here. And in fact, that's the great thing about these devices. I was sitting here listening to Ben, and I thought of yet another use case that we can be using this for. So as a mining company, we do a lot of mining. We have a lot of equipment that we collect information from. That information gets logged in a historian. It would be great to take that historian data, store it on local StoreSimple device, push it up to Azure, connect it to a Azure machine learning, and start understanding some of the patterns. So that was the one that came to to mind while I was just sitting there, Ben, so that's great.
Unstructured data at Fortescue, and I mean, they have to keep data for the life of a mine, don't you, I believe, Gav? And we were also quite cautious trying to make sure we actually looked at how much of that information was working set, how much was hot. And I think we found it was around the 12% or so had been accessed in the last 3 months.
Five
percent in the last 3 months had actually been accessed, which is not uncommon for those kind of data types.
Cool. So unless you're a greenfield site and just going to plug these store simple devices in and start populating it from day one, you're going to have to think about data migration, because you've probably got some file shares, you've probably got some data already that you do want to get onto these devices. So it's important that we talk about the data migration. So in our case, we used a combination, or are using a combination, of secure copy and robocopy, because we are still loading our file share data onto the Store Simple 7520 at the moment. And then we're using a PowerShell script to identify deltas to make sure that we get all the data before we make the cutover. If, like us, you're moving terabytes at once, you're going to see throughput. You're going to see throughput drop off as it gets tiered off, right? So when you first start loading up the device, and this is for the 7 series devices, so a little less performance than the new 8000 series devices. In our case, we're seeing around 200 megabytes per second when it's first hitting the SSD tier. Then once it gets tiered off to SAS, it's dropping down to about 60 megabytes. And then as it starts getting seeded off to the cloud, we're seeing about 30 terabytes. So it's important for the tiering and to aid you with making sure the active data's in the hot disk to start with your old data, right? Use a few copy threads at first, keep an eye on your CPU usage and your queue lengths, and work your way up until you find that sweet spot when you're copying across. And commonly we found that was at about 10 threads. You gotta remember there's a lot happening in that initial seed. Right, you've got deduplication, compression, and the encryption happening, and that's all happening when it first hits the device. One of the things that'll help you during that seeding process is taking regular cloud snapshots, because that's going to seed those blocks up to Azure so that when the device does reach that high watermark, you're not having to wait for the blobs to tear off to the cloud.
And just interjecting, Gavin mentioned this is on our old 7000 series. The new model Store Simples we have now, the 8000, are looking at up to about 700 megabytes, a little bit more than 700 megabytes a second in throughput to SSD. That's doing inline deduplication. To our SAS tier, we're doing about 250 megabytes a second throughput now, which includes inline compression. And off to Azure, up to about 50 megabytes a second. And that's 50 megabytes a second of deduped and compressed data, maybe actually more. On a larger block size. If we're looking at, say, a 64K block size, where it might be your production data set, like a file or SQL or VM, we're looking more about the 35, 40 megabytes a second. That's still a heck of a lot of data. If you're moving 50 terabytes up to the cloud a day, 50 megabytes a second up to Azure, that's basically 4 terabytes of data a day. If you're maybe getting 2x dedupe and compression, that's equivalent to 8. Of course, remember, you do need the sufficient link speed to get those kind of speeds out there too.
Cool, yeah. And so when we first started seeding across our file shares, in the first 24 hours we got 7 terabytes across. Some other things to consider if you're using your existing file servers, just check that you're not running any third-party SAN or storage software, as there might be a conflict with that could cause a few inconsistencies. In our case, we had to adjust our MPIO settings to address some of the issues we encountered when we moved this into a clustered environment. Importantly, don't judge the device on the performance you get during the migration. As system admins, you guys are going to punish this device more than your end users ever will. And if you actually look at the usage patterns of your users, I think you'll find that the Store Simple is more than capable of meeting those usage patterns. And I guess a final point, not necessarily related to migration, but before you go production, test failover. You don't want to be in a situation where, let's just say as an example, your secondary controller has been plugged into a different VLAN, because that could cause some complications down the line, particularly in a production environment. Was there anything else you wanted to mention there, Ben?
You know, but just reiterating Gavin's point, I think it relates to everything. When you've got a new system before you cut over, when you're pre-production, test everything. Pull cables, pull controllers, pull disc, pull power, anything physical, anything, even in a cluster, in a software environment, you want to make sure you do that pre-production. So do it with Store Simple, but do it with everything too, for that matter. So is there anything else, Gavin, from yourself?
Cool. So some observations and lessons learnt. So first off, understand and trust the intelligence of the device, right? You've got block level dedupe, you've got tiering based on usage, right? And you've got the inherent protections of the device with the cloud snapshots as well. So think about how that simplifies your world, right? There's no need for disconnected archives. There's no need to go along and move a file and stub it, because that just gets messy, and you know that eventually someone's going to pick up that stub or pick up the file where you actually copied it, and things get all out of whack, right? And there's no need for any additional tiering policies. This is, for some of the older guys that I've been working with that have been in IT a long time, this is what they see as the mecca, where they're not having to implement complex tiering policies. It's just getting tiered off based on usage. Next point, importantly, follow guidance, right? Tuning the Store Simple device and the application itself is going to be different for a backup scenario than if you're using it for file shares. So importantly, learn for those that have done it before rather than trying to find the right combination yourself. Or worse yet, blaming the tool when it really hasn't been configured properly. So follow that guidance. There's lots of good information out there. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. And this last point is really less about, to a certain extent, less about storage, but more about becoming a service broker for both compute and storage. So what I've found is now that we actually have storage and compute on demand, our development teams and our app guys actually ask for less of it, and there's less resource hoarding. So they only tend to ask for what they need, and they know if they've got a server in Azure or if they've got a volume being presented by Store Simple, that they can ask for more when they need it. And if they need it, it happens like that, or at least within 10 minutes. It actually takes our team longer to respond to the request than it does to fulfill the request. So I'm actually saying this as an apps guy. So I'm living it. And when it comes to that, our application development team were the guys that really drove our adoption of infrastructure as a service. They wanted self-service, right? They wanted to be able to spin up servers and machines when they needed it for continuous improvement, for testing, right? So by us giving them that capability with Azure, we've seen an improvement in behavior there. So for yourselves, if you're using Azure today, that's great. You've got that capability. If you're still working in the private cloud environment, check out the Azure pack, as it's going to give you some of those capabilities and bring some self-service scenarios into the equation. So that's just about it from us. We're the last thing holding you back from lunch. There's going to be some more great sessions this afternoon. Just a couple of sessions if you didn't manage to catch this morning. Ben, as he mentioned, did an earlier session around the hybrid SharePoint cloud with Azure Store Simple and AvPoint. And there was also a great session on infrastructure as a service this morning by Stu Fox. So if you didn't manage to get along to those this morning, remember those sessions, this session, and all the sessions at TechEd are available on Channel 9 to view on demand later on. And finally, some additional resources. There's the Store Simple ebook, technical documentation on MSDN, and if you're interested in using Store Simple as a backup target, I thoroughly recommend you go and see that or watch that TechEd North America session. There's a link there to that as well. So with that, are there any questions?
Sorry, what's the question? So, what was the reason for using a mixture of IaaS and PaaS?
Repeat it again for me, sorry.
What was it? What was the reason you used a mixture of IaaS and PaaS?
So in the industry that we're in, we tend to deal with a lot of vendors that don't like to change too quickly. So we've got a lot of engineering products in there, a lot of mining products really haven't, or mining applications haven't changed since the 80s. So we're lucky if we can virtualize some of them. It's even better if we can put them on Azure infrastructure as a service. And it's absolutely fantastic if we can put them on platform as a service. And that's part of what drives us. And you've got to go back to that strategy statement from Vito that I shared at the beginning. At the end of the day, we're a mining company. So we're not too keen on having to go and build stuff for ourselves. If we have to, we do. There's times with what we've built actually offers us a competitive advantage, but we always have to remember we're there to enable our core business rather than do IT.
Any other questions at all?
Just down the back in blue. Hand up. Oh.
Get there eventually.
Yeah, I just have one question. In the speech, you mentioned there's a local store simple device. And is that the actual physical device? So if we do a DR project, we need to install to buy the local store simple device to synchronize to the Azure cloud store simple service?
So I'll start off with this one. So we've got the 7000 series devices. And in that case, they're only physical versions of the devices, but hopefully we'll see a virtual version made offered to to us in the future. The 8000 series devices, though, you do get a virtual appliance with, and if you don't have the current 7000 series on premise, you're only going to be looking at the 8000. So when it comes to DR, really, you've got your physical device on premise, and Ben said it's either 2U or 4U. And from a DR perspective, you can connect that up to the virtual appliance in the cloud if you need to recover. Did you have anything you wanted to add there, Ben?
No, exactly right. It's a storage array, so it does sit in the data center, but then you can access in Azure. It doesn't replicate to a virtual appliance in Azure. It actually just takes the data directly up via the Azure Service Bus to an Azure Blob account. Any other questions at all?
The mic's not on.
Start after that. Go first.
Yeah, just out of interest, what size pipe are you guys running up to Azure?
So we've got a gig pipe. We do have a secondary as well. And I believe we may actually have a third smaller pipe. So because the cloud's so important to us, we did need to make sure that we had adequate connectivity there.
And being in Perth, they've got relatively low latency to Singapore too.
When the ISPs are playing nice.
Hi, just in regards to the 7000 series, we have one of those as well, and looks like there's a 100 terabyte limit on the unit. What happens when we exceed that 100 terabytes?
So there's the still simple units, so the older versions, which is, I think, for you, 7020. They're 200 terabyte limit.
What's
on the
200?
We had on the older version a 100 terabyte limit per volume.
Per volume.
So that's actual data after deduplication and compression.
Okay. And so, sorry, another question as well. Because what we're doing now is we're exiting from one of our backup systems, so we're restoring all data from, say, Live Vault into onto the store simple device. And obviously from the Live Vault system, that data that we're pulling out, we are seeing huge amounts, like an exchange database restore is probably around 1 terabyte per restore. So if we kept filling that up on the store simple device, do we still need to commission that amount of space on the volume? Like, let's say it's
the volume's a logical construct. Yep. So you always provision what you need when you look at the file.
Okay.
On the back end of the store simple, it's doing the dedupe and compression. So the logical construct is, how big does the volume look to me in Windows or Linux? Yep. Or whatever else? While the actual back end device, what it's actually using, was using in, yep, Azure, is whatever you get at the back end for after dedupe compression.
Okay.
And it dedupes across volumes too, so it's device-wide deduplication.
Okay.
So if you restore the same thing three times, it's only one copy.
Okay. All right. No worries. Thanks for that.
Are we out of time?
One more question, or?
One more is okay.
You mentioned a lot about files, shares, and so forth. Is any comments on, like, say, SQL workloads or Exchange workloads with the Store Simple at all?
Not with this generation of devices, and in our case, we're using Exchange Online. But Ben's probably got something to add around the 8000 series.
Yeah, for the 7000, we're very cautious. A lot around the lower capacity for things like SQL or Oracle. If you tear off a large portion of the database to the cloud and do a reindex, which you will do, it'll be in a lot of trouble. We are doing relational databases on the 8000, but we're trying to keep them below about maybe 1.5 terabytes or so. Pretty sufficient normally. But we are still avoiding Exchange, and it's sort of a common thing you'll see with Exchange on a solution that tiers across multiple layers, whether it be all local tiers or cloud and local tiers like we do, because we've built Exchange to run, as someone said to me yesterday, on the smell of an oily rag for disk. It can run on a bunch of cheap SATA disk attached directly to your server. And the good thing about this is you can run it on low-cost storage. You can use DAGs for availability. You can do shared nothing clusters. The bad thing from a storage solution, a smart storage solution, is it's constantly error-checking every block of data. It assumes that all disk is high-risk, sort of low-availability disk, so it'll constantly do all this error-checking process. So if you do this in a solution that's tiering data on the back end, you'll get constant thrashing of data between tiers. So we avoid Exchange, but we are starting to look at a lot more SQL and relational databases and also virtual machine workloads. Great.
Cool. Thanks very much, guys. Don't forget to fill in the evals.
Thank you very much for coming.